Hi, you're listening to Film Music Podcast, Score and the City. Today, I'd like you to listen to a truly exciting conversation that I had some time ago with Dirk Brosse, who, when it comes to film music, but not only, is one of the most eminent conductors in the world. We're going to talk about all the reasons why he loves film music so much and the experience of working with Sinfonietta Cracovia Orchestra on a project, Killer 19. Dirk is a phenomenal conductor who has always impressed me with his feel and understanding for music and the way he's able to inspire people to collaborate and co-create art. We are very happy every time he finds space and time to visit Poland, like this year on Film Music Festival in Kraków. And we talked in Ghent, Belgium, during Sinfonietta Cracovia Tour.
Hello, my name is Dirk Brosse. I'm from Belgium. I'm a composer and a conductor. I'm the music director of the Film Fest Ghent. I'm also the music director of the Chamber Orchestra of Philadelphia. And I love film music.
When you take one orchestra from one country and put this to another country, does it sound different?
Absolutely. I think we can say that there are traditions of playing your instrument as individuals, but also playing in a group. There are traditions. I mean, some orchestras have their own sound, like the Berlin Philharmonic. They have their own sound. Vienna Philharmonic, good listeners, they can say, oh, this is Concertgebouw Amsterdam, or this is an American orchestra, or this is a British orchestra, or this is a German orchestra, or a French orchestra. So definitely there is something in the reproduction, the producing of the sound that emphasize the character of a certain orchestra, a certain country, and also a certain tradition. Of course, everything has to do with the type of conductor that is conducting the orchestra as well. But still, I mean, as a conductor, you cannot change the DNA. You cannot change the sound of an orchestra. You can talk about interpretation and how you can manipulate in a certain way. The way how to express yourself through the scores and the music written by composers, but the real sound of the voice you cannot change.
So what's the DNA of Sinfonietta Cracovia?
Well, I have to say when the orchestra came over, I heard some recordings, but recordings are, you know, it's not the best way to judge an orchestra, because you're in the studio, you can manipulate the sound, etc. The best way as a conductor or as a music listener, music lover, is to be in the concert hall, or in my case, to be in front of the orchestra. And during the first rehearsal, we were rehearsing Orava by Killer, which is absolutely a marvelous.
It's a phenomenon because it's about, you know, it's in the Polish tradition, it's about Polish mountains. But everyone in the whole world would understand that because the music is so universal.
No, absolutely. It is fantastic, and it proves again that Killer is a 360 degrees all round composer. I mean, as we talked about earlier, the religious element of his music, but also the epic scores are great. But also in Orava, there is a lot of minimal music that we can hear, but talking about the orchestra, when they were for the first time performing this piece, you could feel that they have this music in their DNA, sound wise, rhythmically wise, mentally wise, and it's small differences. And it's very, very hard to talk about it with words, because it's a feeling. It's something that is very difficult to talk about. But if I have to, I will try. I mean, there is something in the depth of the sound, of the way they reproduce the sound. There is an extra layer which you cannot explain. So it's more than playing the notes. They are using the musical information in order to talk about something completely different. And this is the difference between my orchestra in America, for example, playing Orawa, which they will do brilliantly, but that extra layer will not be there. I think, and it's vice versa. I mean, if we play in Philadelphia music written by American composers, if we play Appalachian Spring, no one can play Appalachian Spring or Adagio for Strings by Samuel Barber like American orchestras. So it's vice versa. If I would give Appalachian Spring to the Sinfonietta Cracovia, I'm sure they will do a great job. But the American soul, the spirit, the goosebumps, it's not in their DNA, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but this is what I love about this collaboration. It's I also discover a lot of things that are not in the score that I say, wow. I remember the first time they played it, I went like crazy. I had literally tears in my eyes. I said, oh my God, this is beyond all expectations. It's just amazing. Mm-hmm. Just amazing. Yeah.
What is it like to play Kilar and Glass in one concert?
Yeah, it's a fantastic combination. They're doing the same thing, and at the same time, I mean, they're cooking their meals with the same ingredients, but the taste is completely different. I think Kilar is using the minimalistic elements in a more romantic way, while Philip Glass he holds on the original idea. Originally invented actually by Terry Riley and then developed by Steve Reich, that they stick to the idea that they have one small musical element. Sometimes it's only two notes and one chord, and they repeat it perpetuum mobile till the end of times and till eternity without escaping from it. And this is interesting, those two worlds. But what is interesting that the emotional effect on the listener is the same. Mm-hmm. And this is very interesting. Two great masters, absolutely.
And then two Draculas, one from Coppola, 1992, and the other one, new and all at the same time, 1931, but then Krantz Quartet and Philip Glass. Again, wonderful combination.
Yeah, wonderful combination. You could feel the same. You could feel that it's the same story. It's about the horror, about Dracula. So there is a lot of weight in the music, a lot of dark colors, and a lot of movement at the same time. Philip Glass is using a different tempo. So in his music, the tempis are quite high. You have a lot of information. Like those triplets, and it goes on, and it really does something with you. You really feel very restless, and you can feel, oh my God, this is a movie about horror. And in Kilar's approach, it's different. The rhythmical patterns are much more quiet, but the weight of the chords and the weight of the melody, ta-deem, ta-da-dam, ta-dam, ta-da-dam. At the end of every beat that is filled with a long chord, starting with the bass as cello, and then responded in the celli and in the violas and second violins. On top of that, there is that melody it's the start of the melody. It has so much drama in it, like ta-dam, ta-da-dam. And then underneath there is those chords, they weigh like 1,000 pounds, you know. And so again, I have the same type of goosebumps, but in a different way. And this is very interesting for the musicians, but also for the audience. Two different approaches in order to evoke the same emotion.
For years now, you've been trying to send some of your love to film music to the audience. So maybe it's a good time to ask why you do love film music. Why is it so special to you?
Well, film music was my first love. I mean, I always wanted to be a conductor and a composer as a young boy who was 8, 9 years old. of course, without knowing what it was. But it was when I was 15, 16, that was about the time that the first Star Wars film came out. And I heard for the very first time the soundtrack by John Williams, and I was absolutely blown away. Because it's like in this music, I heard everything that I loved. I heard Mozart, I heard Prokofiev, there was Shostakovich, there was the Plans, Halls, there was Korngold. But above all, it is John Williams. It is John Williams. So it's music that is connecting to the collective memory. And as a trumpet player in those days myself, a professional trumpet player, I loved playing his brass parts and later on conducting his music. So film music was actually my first love, and throughout my career I have conducted so many different genres and styles. In Philadelphia I do only the classical music, Haydn, Mozart, Beethoven mainly, but in Europe I do a lot of crossover. Recently, I was a conductor on the new album of Stromae, for example, so who is a world artist. I collaborate a lot with pop artists, with 360 degrees diverse artists. But I think film music is my first love and will always stay my first love.
Beautiful. Like two days ago or 3 days ago, yes, I saw on Facebook under the post about, I don't know what was this exactly, a comment like, well, I was with my daughter somewhere during the concert, and now she knows that this was Elmer Bernstein concert and Brosso was conducting. So
I always conducted film music when I was 21 years old. 21 years young, I was appointed principal conductor and music director of the Brussels International Youth Orchestra, and later on of the Belgian National Youth Orchestra. And I was the very, very first one in this country who programmed film music. And I remember that I was called by the president of the board saying that literally I should not spoil the ears of the young people by programming film music. And I said, what the fuck? You know, I said, I'm very sorry, but I'm, or you fire me, or so. I said, you have to believe that this is the music of the future. And this was back in 1980, 1981. And he really, I had an official complaint saying, no, I mean, you should do more classical music, et cetera, et cetera. But the kids around me, they loved playing film music. And in those days, it was almost impossible to get the sheet music because the music of John Williams was not published yet. I mean, now at Hal Leonard, you can buy everything, all the teams. But in those days, it was very, very hard to find film music. So I always did research, and I contacted personally a lot of composers and asking for their music. And most of the answers I got was, we don't know where the sheet music is. We recorded the music 20 years ago, 30 years ago. We can't find it anymore. Sorry, etc., etc. So I was always fighting for film music. And now you see, 40 years later, thanks to film music, a lot of orchestras survive.
I know that the language of music is Italian mainly. Then it's English that you communicate, of course, with the orchestra. But maybe you have your favorite musical word in Flemish.
Oh, my favorite Flemish musical word. Oh my God! So not Italian, not French,
not English.
Oh my, that's the most difficult question I got in years. And it's so simple. But, oh my God, I have to think about it. Because most of the time, for example, when I rehearse with the National Orchestra in Belgium, I always do it in English. Yeah, because officially I have to speak French and Flemish, but you lose time. So that's why I do it in English. So when I conduct in Flemish, the word is... And probably you will not understand it, but the way I pronounce it, you will understand. The word is zachtaardig. Zacht means soft. And aardig means family of soft. Zachtaardig. Like you are hugging someone, but in a very subtle way. zachtaardig. I love the word because the meaning is in the structure of the word. Like, for example, in English, you say anger. It's in the word, you know, anger or soft, but zachtaardig, zachtaardig. Please, let's play it one more time, but zachtaardig.